All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I've been hitting the garage sales this weekend.
Yeah.
And check out this more or less mint copy of Sorry that
Whoa.
I got.
Look at it. It's got those crazy little pieces that look like traffic cones, but they have a ball at the top.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. They're like little pawnlets. It's got that. It's got these cool graphics. There's this cool dad on the front of the box.
Look at how angry that dad is.
I know. His kids are winning, and he's not.
Yeah.
They're going to have a bad night. And then the biggest thing, the reason why I got it, is this Pop-O-Matic bubble.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. That's, any game that has Pop-O-Matic? Yeah.
Yeah, Pop-O-Matic. That is just the best sound. Like, check this out.
Oh, so you're going to make me find a Pop-O-Matic sound?
That is exactly the idea behind this. I'm
God damn it.
Yes. No, check it out.
Every time. No. Oh, you fucker. Did you say nya nya?
Yeah, I did. Also, for purposes of the show, it's a special Pop-O-Matic bubble, and it says Bubsy 2.
Okay. Fuck! Although, really, the fuck is for me trying to find a Pop-O-Matic sound. Diabolical, you son of a bitch.
You found a Spirograph sound.
It wasn't even that. It was I forget what I used for Spirograph.
Well, use your fucking imagination, big shot.
I'm gonna have to like manufacture one out of like mouth sounds and a couple of dice. Okay, let me regain my composure.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
You're listening to Abject Suffering, the bad video game podcast show.
Yes, and why are you doing this to us? This week we are talking about Bubsy 2, which is the sequel to Bubsy in Claw's Adventures of the Furred Kind.
Is that the... I thought that might have been the name of...
That's Bubsy the first 2. One.
That's the first one?
That's the first one.
Bubsy. Oh, yeah. Claw's Encounters of the Furred Kind.
Yes.
It's like Bubsy writes for the pitch. It's like he's on the Twitter, the pitch Twitter.
It's so
like that, that would have ended up on the pitch Twitter. And if I wait long enough for people to forget about it, it might be.
It's good. You're dutifully writing this down in your stenographer's notebook.
Yeah. This Accolade game has good ideas for my novelty product Twitter.
God, Accolade. Yeah, no, it came out in 1994, which like people should like humanity should have known better by this point.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is real bad.
Yeah. This it's objectionable in a lot of ways. Like I'm either, you know, offended by the aesthetics of something or like the mechanics of it, but this is both. This is objectionable in all regards.
Yeah, in every way. This is a real complete failure.
Even more like at least Where's Waldo gave us a lot to talk about.
Yeah, the thing about platformers for Abject Suffering is that like, you know, and we talked about this, but like average to shitty platformers are, you know, what fills in the cracks of video games from like 1996 to 1997 or so.
It's the mortar, you know?
Yeah. It's just, you know, everywhere. So it gets kind of hard to tell, you know, have things to say about them. Luckily, this one is really stupid and we haven't done like a straight up mascot platformer yet.
Yeah.
Like this game gets on the show by virtue of no one suggesting Arrow the Acrobat.
Damn it. Can that get a bell?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Sure. No, I was about ready to suggest Arrow the Acrobat. Like as like the co-evolution analog of this.
See, like Arrow the Acrobat, which I think I talked about that in the Watch Out for Fireballs music episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like I ended up playing a lot of that game. Mm-hmm. That had a weird like double jump mechanic where you could aim in a direction. This doesn't have anything.
Yeah.
Like it has a glide that is, you know, there's very little horizontal to it. It's not really a glide that you do.
Yeah. It's just like a don't fall into 1 inch of water and die inexplicably button.
Yeah. And who even knows if it's water? Like, and so I didn't. So So starting back at the beginning, like, so this begins with, this is one of the ugliest games we've played.
It is objectionable.
It is so ugly. And the first screen with like just chaos in the background, like a factory with really poor character designs. Like it's like a scratch and dent warehouse for like character design things going by in the background. And Bubsy is sitting with his face away from the camera, like shaking his little tail nub.
Yeah.
And like, I'm thinking, well, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go finger Bubsy right now.
Yeah. He's presenting. Because,
yeah. He's totally presenting. There's no part of this is not supposed to be erotic in the beginning. Like,
so therefore I don't have to feel bad for being rock hard.
No. Like anybody who doesn't get a boner to this is just
not human. You know, oh, really? Do you have a pulse? Check it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Check your pulse, son.
Yeah. He's definitely trying to get people aroused.
Yeah. that minx, literally.
Yeah. And it's just so ugly. And then like, who even knows, like, what's happening with,
like,
it?
It looks like rejected designs from Mexican off-brand cereals.
Yeah.
Looking at the cover art, like is Bubsy showing me his O face right there?
No, his eyes are too closed. He's got like stoner eyes.
Yeah.
He's showing you his Jim Brewer face. Like, he looks like Bubsy is essentially a cartoon Jim Brewer.
I was Goat Boy once.
Yeah.
Now I'm on Sirius XM. Kill me. I saw. Okay. So after somebody ran into my car, notice the mm-hmm. phrasing. After somebody ran into my car, I got a new car that had Sirius XM in it. And I was like, okay, I have like 3 months of this awful service. And then after which I will just not renew it because I don't want to spend $20 a month on Jim Brewer. Okay.
Yeah.
And now every day at roughly the same time, I get a phone call from somebody at SiriusXM.
From Jim Brewer.
Yeah. I'm like, old Gil needs
When's
a break.
When's the last time you watched Half Baked?
but I like Half Baked.
No, I know. Half Baked is fine. Yeah. This is the first Jim Brewer thing that popped
okay.
in my brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate his eyes. His eyes have always like bothered me. Like, just like, ugh. Just cock those things over like the fucking...
Yeah, but yeah, no, the art design is just objectionable. And like if it was just a cute cartoon cat that was running through a world, that would be fine. However, this entire thing, it's like, okay, you know when the Three Stooges all try and walk through a door at the same time and like mm-hmm. none of them get through, and also that's why Mr. Burns doesn't get sick?
Yes.
this game is that, but for ideas. Like, there are so many ill-considered, not thought through ideas that like are attempting to maybe stick a toe into this game, and like it is being pulled into 1,000 directions and none of them were fully baked. And so that is why we have what we have, from the aesthetics down to the mechanics.
I think you're right, but I couldn't figure out any of the mechanics.
Oh no. Like, and that's
so,
what
so
that's,
I just
like, that's
that
why
was,
I couldn't yeah. figure them out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you were right. There is definitely clearly a lot of things going on in the game, mm-hmm. Other than just like it just being like a shitty platformer. But it's really hard to get past like how ugly it is and how busy the backgrounds are and like how just like, and you control. So the thing I posted on Facebook, like, this game was making me motion sick because yeah. when you run and stop, the screen goes forward a little bit and then yep. jerks back.
Mm-hmm. It has a little bounce to it. Yeah.
And it was making me want to puke. Like, mm-hmm. no joke. Like, I thought I was going to vomit
yeah.
from this game. Like, I can play Portal or, like, an FPS all day.
Yeah.
But the way that this was, like, this unsteady field of vision in Bubsy 2, like, I thought I was going to puke into yeah. my trash can.
And normally, like, the motion sick thing is my line. So the fact
yeah, totally.
That it bothered... And it bothered me, too. Like, a
yeah.
lot. And
How
like,
couldn't it? It's horrible.
Yeah. Well, it's a product of the field of view being that close. And the fact mm-hmm. that, like... You know, like, normally, like, so there's a tolerance for when a character gets to like near the edge of the screen to where the screen will move. You have to get barely off the center axis of the screen horizontally for the mm-hmm. screen just to like go to full velocity moving to the right.
Yeah. Yep. Just like jerk immediately to the right.
Yeah. And that is really disorienting if you're trying to do any of the more precise platforming that this
yeah.
game, for some fucking reason, inexplicably asks of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's yeah. And that with that platforming, so like the controls, like you're jumping, I felt like half the time when I jumped, I was jumping as if I was on like a trampoline or a bouncy thing. And the other half, I had no vertical at all. And the difference between when one would happen and when the other, I never figured out.
Yeah. Well, it's not helped out by the fact that like when you like you jump about like 5 or 6 frames after you press the jump button.
Yeah.
So like I have a very low tolerance for bad platformers. And like you know, last night before I recorded the level, I played both Rogue Legacy and Commander Keen, both of which are really good platformers. You know, in their own way. And the thing that makes them good, aside from like the arc and, you know, the things that they have you doing, is that when you press the jump button, you fucking jump.
Yeah. Well, you can do a delay. Like Castlevania has a little bit of a delay. It just feels better. Like part of it is
like
more
a predictable delay. This was an inconsistent delay depending on like, were you moving at the time or
surface
what did
are
the
you
game
standing
feel
on?
Like? Yeah.
Yeah. Part of it is just how it adds up to a game feel.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, you know, which is a little bit harder to quantify, but is all of these factors stacked together. Why were you playing Commander Keen? Just out of
like rote nostalgia. It was mentioned on a Video Games Hot Dog. I'm going back through their backlogs because I realized there are like 30 episodes that I haven't listened to of them from the beginning. I'm just kind of like I'm out of Idle Thumbs and I'm out of a bunch of other stuff. It's like, oh yeah, I'd like to go back because I really, really like those dudes. They're real cool. And they mentioned it. I was like, I wonder if that's on Steam. And it totally is for like $5 for all the games.
I bought like on one of those ridiculous sales. I bought the id complete pack and have all the Commander Keens the Wolfenstein Doom and all that stuff. Commander Keen's real fun. I used to play the shit out of those.
Commander Keen 4, we had that on shareware on my first computer and I played the shit out of it.
Yeah. Those are good games.
Yeah.
Unlike Bubsy too.
Yeah.
And they were made like, you know, I don't know, like 5 years before Bubsy too.
Right.
Like or whatever it is.
Except one was made by id.
Yeah. And one was made by Accolade, which I just looked up Accolade. Like mostly it's shit, but they're also the people who made Star Control.
What?
Yeah.
You've got to be fucking kidding me. Star Control 2 rules.
Yeah, exactly. Star Control and Star Control 2 are both really good. Like looking at their list of games is incredible because like there's nothing that's good except for Star Control.
Like I even like Test Drive. Like Test Drive is a solid racing game.
Oh, I actually didn't know those. So I didn't count it. But it's almost all garbage. Turrican is okay. Turrican's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so much garbage. And then for some reason, Star Control, which again, it's just like in the last episode, we were talking about the weird crushing every piece of Play-Doh through the Fun Factory into a platformer just to make money and make money. The series did like these are popular games.
All of my research like indicated that like none of the Bubsy games like they made enough money to like stay afloat and to justify making an next one until Bubsy 3D. But like they were never well regarded.
I don't think they were ever well regarded, but like mascot platformers were just so huge.
Oh yeah, they were like riding a wave.
Yeah. So like the second one was kind of rushed to make because they wanted to push a sequel out because of the success of the first one. And the first one made, you know, a bunch of money. Like it was just on the like I said, on the backs of Mario and Sonic. You know, it's needed to have it like so bad critical consensus, but big sales.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, and again, like keeping with our trend of never being able to do anything that is not licensed, this game is licensed. Like one of the weapons, like one of the power-ups or toys, quote unquote, that you can use is as a Nerf gun.
Yeah. You have a toy button in the game, but I never picked up a toy. Or I maybe did, because I was constantly picking things up that I could not see what they represented. Like, at no point did I know how much health I had, what I was supposed to be doing in the levels, what anything I picked up did, you know, what in the background would hurt me and what wouldn't. I played through 3 levels of this.
Me too. Which ones? I want to hear their names.
I don't know the names. I didn't write that. I didn't keep notes. I went through the music note level.
Oh, yes. I think that you're referring to Bach in Time.
Ah, yes. Bach in Time. Yeah. I guess, there's a time travel plot going on, I guess. And I saw some things, and for some reason, I was like, that's a time machine. But I don't know why. It just looked like a you know, Inside Out Toaster. So, and that's the one I actually beat, was the Bakken Time level. And then I did the pirate level, which actually takes you to space. Like, it looks like a pirate. Like, the level that you go into, it looks like nothing, you know, unlike a pirate. Takes you into space. And I went to the Medieval Times level. And both of which were just, you know, impossible.
I believe you're referring to Hamelot.
Yes, I went to Hamelot. And then those two pigs with the no exclamation points on their shirt, anti-exclamation point pigs, were the ones that killed me. But that music level, which is the one I beat, like, not only are the designs so ugly, the background is just, like, mind-numbingly, like, jaw-droppingly disgusting.
It's distracting. But, worse than being aesthetically offensive, like, the entire level. So it's like if Wayne's World wasn't on the SNES, or if it wasn't on the NES, and they also, like, bumped up the saturation and just made everything bouncy.
It's like, and the backgrounds look like Windows 95, like, tiled
backgrounds. Yeah, yeah.
Like, how you'd go in there and you could just pick that one little, like, you know, 70 by 70 pixel.
Houndstooth. You
know, yeah, exactly. Just have that repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just super, super atrocious. But everything has a face. Everything looks like a fucking pita. And then I don't know what's going to hurt me or not.
Right.
In the level, because everything is, you know, everything looks like it will hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Just garbage. I mean, it was really easy too, so I can tell that the difficulty curve is uneven, which I shouldn't be able to tell from playing this game for Abject Suffering, because we don't usually get that far into
right.
it. But I beat this level, and it's like it was super simple. I just kind of, you know, went up until I won.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other two levels were fucking impossible because I had no idea what to do.
Yeah,
you collect little spheres. They're different colors. Sometimes there's a bunch of spheres.
They look like, again, Windows screensavers, like tech demos for, like, holy crap, my computer can do something that looks like 3D as long as I don't move my mouse.
Did you beat any of the levels?
I beat. Let me look here at my notes. I did beat the Bach in time.
Yeah.
And I also beat the Hindenburger, which is where the game inexplicably turns into a side-scrolling shooter.
There's a little part of that in the space level, the Star Trek pirate level, where it turns into a side-scrolling thing. But then I think I might have clipped the ceiling with my weird hitbox. I don't remember feeling like I died from anything, but then I just died, and I was like, well, fuck this. When you beat the level, though, you get that cell screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I was pressing to the right to sell things, it was increasing the number that I had in my quantity and increasing the number I was selling.
Weird.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's really, really hard to read what it is.
Yeah.
Inventory screens aren't difficult. Like, that shouldn't be sales interface. Yeah. Well, Mass Effect, that's inexcusable. Like, they definitely should have known the lesson for that. Like, they've done, you know, sales screens.
Right.
You know, Accolade has two. You can draw a direct line from Bubsy 2 to Mass Effect, and it's in their sale interface.
So I like that idea. I like how you can collect things and buy power-ups that you like to use or that might be useful in the next next level, because this is non-linear. Mm-hmm. You can go to the East Wing or the West Wing.
You can watch some episodes of West Wing.
You know what? It wasn't good after John Goodman showed up.
Yeah.
Like, and John Goodman generally makes everything better.
Yeah, but in this case, he didn't.
Yeah, but no. So you can be like, okay, I know I'm going to go into a world with a lot of water, so I'm going to buy a lot of scuba suits. And, you know, okay, I like that, and I like how you can trade stuff in for your currency, which are these little devil cat cards. Because why not? But, like, I like that. Just kind of like, okay, I picked up a bunch of useless shit. I can trade that in for things that I'm going to see myself as being useful, such as the Nerf Balzooka.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Like, branded by Nerf.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the menu screen for a second?
It's
when you first start out.
Yeah. Like, okay, so it gives you like 17 different modes you can try.
Yeah. Yeah. And none of them are like, make sense. It's like one player world tour and then like five other modes in just a really ugly font. Yeah. And I did the world tour, which is exactly like one player mode.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing more to it.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
that's Atari level shit. Like,
yeah, totally. Like every Atari game has like seven different modes that are just sometimes your character is invisible. Like, sometimes I had a weird thought the other day. I was watching some Atari, something about Atari on YouTube, and I was wondering, like, I wonder if there's an Atari game that has a level of sophistication where we could do it for one of our shows, or a split episode of WoF on it.
Like, the only one that I could think of would be Adventure.
Yeah. Which would be a little bit rough, because that's like a, you know, it's a rough game.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's got to be some, like, Atari games that are, you know, better than...
Well, we have tens of people who listen to this, so... So if you could think of one, let us know.
Yeah, suggest not necessarily for this or for anything that we do.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your favorite Atari games?
Is that a homemade Bubsy plushie?
That's definitely what it looks like. I just sent Cole a picture of like somebody's Bubsy collection. Like somebody's a Bubsy super fan and has like the issue of SWAT Pro and all of the different games he has, and then has a little teddy bear with an exclamation point that definitely looks like, you know, a fake Bubsy plush.
Yeah. Oh man, this compulsion is resolving itself of its own volition at deviantart.com. Say something relevant while I look up porn. All
right. I wonder if this game was any better on the Jaguar. Like it was on the Jaguar. Like it could have been worse. I'm just kind of curious. Like there's a Bubsy Jaguar thing. I also wonder how easy the Jaguar is to emulate, because that seems like that's a rich vein.
Oh, a rich vein for this shit?
Yeah,
I'm sure somebody's written something.
Yeah, there's got to be a Jaguar emulator. So when you're suggesting games for the show, don't just limit yourself to anything that can be emulated.
Yeah.
I would do some fucking... I've never played a Jaguar before.
Neither have I. I'd like to do a Lynx, too.
Yeah, and I'm sure Lynx is emulatable.
Yeah.
Because it didn't use, you know, any kind of fancy CD technology. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bunch of those systems I've never played in person. I feel like everything... I've never played a TurboGrafx-16 in person. I never played a 3DO in person. Who is the you know, Prince of Egypt that had like a TurboGrafx-16 when you were growing up?
It was just in my neighborhood. I don't know.
Mm.
It was
just
weird.
Hooked up to a TV in an alley.
I played a couple of like pinball games on a Philips CDI.
Oh, cool. Like a Devil's Crush.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's what it was, but
yeah.
Yeah.
The lowest GameFAQs user review for this game is a 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the lowest. It's like a 7 out of 10, and then 2 8s out of 10. 8 out of 10.
That's like who? That's fucked.
Yeah, who are these people? Gameplay, 9 out of 10. What are you thinking, Gav loves Sega? Who's the guy who wrote the FAQ? So he's biased.
Yeah.
The only thing he dings it on is story.
Hmm.
I had to agree with you there.
like, what does he say about the story?
Like, what is not there much to of say? A story. Bubsy is now courier of the Amazatorium, and for some reason, a band of pigs, led by Oinker P. Ham, have kidnapped the Bubsy twins, Bubsy's niece and nephew, original dash not. Yep. His problem with the story is it's not very original.
Oh, okay.
Like him becoming a courier for the Amazatorium and having his niece and nephew kidnapped by a sentient pig. That's not original enough for him.
Huh.
What do you want, Gav's Love Saba? What more
Your
can we do for you?
You're so high.
I know.
Okay, so my DeviantArt diving revealed three pictures of a model who was like playing with cards and stuff. An attractive woman, I would say. Got a bit of a strong jawline, but still attractive nonetheless.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. And then one image of Bubsy as a Tiny Toon, along with other Tiny Toons. So it looks like Bubs are Bugs and Babs. Huh, wow. But Bubsy is a bunny for some reason. And, like, both of the existing Tiny Toons look irritated that Bubsy is there.
The one on the right is not a Tiny Toon.
That's not
Buster Bunny. Buster Bunny is the same color as Babs Bunny. Like, this is, like, a weird dark blue or purple.
Huh.
Oh, it's Bubster Bunny.
Ugh.
Bubsy Toon is the person who did this, and he's probably a rich vein of Bubsy fan art. he says he's done a pic of Bubster Bunny before. Now he's back, and look who's stuck playing the Bubsy twins. Bubsy Bobcat, Babs and Buster, and then Mighty Morphin Power 4.
Which is Gary Busey as a Bubsy caricature.
Yeah. Busey Bunny.
Busey Bunny.
Man, this has three pages of contents saying how cute and awesome this is. DeviantArt, the problem with DeviantArt is it's where everyone gets support no matter what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the issue with it. If you click on this guy's other stuff, there's a lot of this kind of, like, gross cross things.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just like the notion to make everything into a Lion King character will always just make me want to burn the world down.
Yeah.
Like the fact that that exists irritates me more than any other like fan crossover kind of thing. Like, because it's lazy. It's like, okay, Disney developed this way to render this kind of animal / character into an expressive character.
Yeah.
You know, and no, then like, I will then take that and put whatever accessories I need to onto it in order to make it both a personal expression and also fan art and get people to support me for it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, I don't and, you know, Disney is great. Mm-hmm. Disney looks good. Disney animation is good.
Yeah.
But there's room for other things. Like,
oh, definitely.
Whenever I'm watching something from the, like, I always tend to gravitate towards, and it's partly just me being a contrarian, but when it comes to that kind of animation, I'm always like gravitating to, like, you know, Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim and mm-hmm. Ralph Bakshi shit, because it's not Disney. Like, just having an aesthetic that wasn't Disney is really valuable.
Right.
And like this whole community, like, develop your own fucking drawing style.
Yeah. More than anything. Like, yeah. And develop your own drawing style doesn't mean get your how to draw manga book from the middle school from the middle school book fair that I totally own. I will cop to that because I was in middle school.
Yeah. Or even like your how to draw comics the Marvel way. Which was the book I had as a kid.
Which I actually own too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, everyone should be 6 heads tall. Except for the thing is who's 5.5 heads tall, and women should be 5 3/4 heads tall. So,
learning how to draw the Human Torch and Cyclops.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that book, drawing Cyclops through that book, taught me about 3-point perspective because of his beam.
Yeah. Did you know there's a VHS tape version of that?
Really?
That's narrated by Stan Lee? Yeah.
Huh.
It's pretty awesome, man.
I would like to see that because I like, you know, for what little drawing ability I have, you know, everything that I drew off of contributed to that. So that's neat. Huh?
Yeah. I bet you it's on YouTube. I'm going to find it. Yeah, it's right here.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Put that in the robot.
Yeah, it's not. I guess it's not. Stanley's in it, but who is this? Some real like. I can't remember the name of this guy. Here, I'll put this in the thing. But it's not, you know, drawing comics the Marvel way is not Bubsy.
No,
No, it's okay. That's my fault too. So Stan Lee is in it too. I can't, for some reason, I'm not recognizing who this other guy is who actually does the drawing. Mm-hmm. Oh, John Buscema.
Oh,
so that's cool. This is a real trash game.
Yeah, it's garbage. And I just go back to what I said before, like the idea that it is a million different ideas trying to get through the same small aperture. And if they let one in, it would be really cool. You know, whatever. I can see a good platformer. And then if they just decided to make it a good platformer with a little bit of personality, not attitude, but personality.
Yeah.
They're I would be perfectly fine with it. However,
that's really terrible digitized speech too.
Oh yeah. It's the worst.
Yeah. We didn't talk about that. Like the attitude, just his fucking annoyance. I just like pulled up in the Google image search for it. There's a comic, which is like him. He's sitting on the ground and he just landed on some kind of groundhog or something. And he says like, oh, this is going to make me late for lunch. And the groundhog is saying, oh, I should have taken out a higher insurance policy. And it's some real like, that's some real shitty newspaper comic style. Like,
yeah.
Again, like appealing to an aesthetic that kids don't have. Like,
right.
I feel like, again, I mean, this is the running theme between these two episodes is like, how are these games marketed to kids? Why are they not more sophisticated in this stuff? When I feel like at this time, if kids are watching, you know, Animaniacs and Batman animated series, they have a more sophisticated visual and, you know, humor sense.
Yeah.
Than this.
So like the crazy title puns. Hamdenburg for the flight scene, and I played the ancient Egypt level, which was a dark side of the tomb. Like, those title puns, like, really irritate me, which is weird, because, like, the title puns in Dynamite Heady don't irritate me.
Or on the Pitch Twitter, which is all that, just over and over and over. We almost have 300 of them.
Yeah. But, like, why does Dynamite Heady not bother me?
Because it's not a terrible game, and it's not ugly to look at, and the fonts aren't fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's like, so I can feel comfortable in that I'm not a hypocrite for enjoying Dynamite Heady and hating this, because it's the same aesthetic, it's the same train of thought that leads to Claws Encountered of the Third Kind and Clothes Encounter of the First Kind.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The also thing, too, and this is a bigger discussion, but something I keep thinking of in some reference to, like, a Facebook article that went around that I posted is, like, hypocrisy does not invalidate anyone or anything.
Mm.
Like, being
mildly, I totally agree.
Like, that is such a – I'm not saying you're falling under that fallacy, but that kind of thing pisses me off, where, like, someone feels like, you know, they think that one exception to any rule or one person arguing for a generality, if they've ever done anything to the contrary, their argument is faulty.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself that you can go live in that tight of a box.
They think that, like, invoking hypocrisy against somebody is going to be like the end of Superman fucking 2, and you're going to fly off in a plane into space.
Yeah, it's going to put you in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, spiraling off.
Yeah, you do not win an argument automatically because you can point out hypocrisy.
No, you don't.
Like, it is fine. Human beings, not only are they capable of holding contrasting ideas, we do nothing but hold contrasting ideas in our head.
Yeah.
That is how you spend all of your time.
Yeah.
So
unless you're the Dalai fucking Lama, in which case, like, Gunga Galunga.
Exactly. So. God bless you for your inner peace that you have, that you've never had any cognitive dissonance that you've had to suffer through.
Yeah.
Like, go fuck yourself. Like, if that's true. And then, and on a, for an unrelated reason, Michael Henderson, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, go fuck yourself.
Yes, and just everybody, just enjoy a good self-fucking tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's pick out our next game real quick.
Yeah, do that real quick.
Yeah. Talk about something while I do that.
Yeah. Okay. So if you enjoyed what you just heard, and if I can speak vainly here, these past two episodes, and I would even say the Where's Waldo episode, it's all been good. I've enjoyed it. If you've enjoyed it, tell a friend, please. Spread the word, because that is the way that these things happen. And we want more people to listen to this show. One way you can help that, we're still up on the New and Noteworthy intermittently, and you can help keep us there by going to iTunes and leaving us a rating or a review. Somebody told us that they would listen to a History of Poop podcast that we did, which, you know, who knows, may be coming. I don't know.
Yeah, who can predict?
The future is a strange and scary thing.
But
if you're not of the iTunes type, then there's the Facebook, which is facebook.com/abjectsuffering, and then just the website where you can find our old episodes. We've got just a little over 15 episodes that you can listen to. I think that they're all pretty good. Again, I'm proud of them, and I hope that you like them. If you would like to suggest an episode for us to do, that is duckfeed.tv/abjectsuffering, and there's a little module on the side. Enter the name of the game and also your name, and we will put it in the running for a game, which we select randomly. We do not pick any of these ourselves. Gary, what's the next episode?
Next episode is going to be Captain Skyhawk.
Oh,
for the NES.
Man. I played that game so much when I was young.
Really? I don't know it. I have no idea what this is.
Wow. Yeah. No, it's, this will be interesting.
I'm going to Google it real quick and see, just so I know what I'm in for.
It's got a hilarious cover.
Oh, yeah. It's an overhead shooter, like a Zaxxon perspective kind of thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll play some Captain Skyhawk.
Yeah.
And we haven't done a shooter before. I would say if you are going to suggest games, maybe lay off the platformers.
Yeah, we'll do two of them in a row.
Just do two of them in a row, but the random nature and everything like that. And, anything emulatable.
Yes.
So, a lot of things are on the table. So Game Boy, Game Gear, Atari Lynx.
Hit us with your best shot.
I don't want to, mount any ISO files. Like, let's not do any PlayStation games. Like, I don't want to get any deep level fucking emulation, but anything from yesteryear that is emulatable.
Yeah,
fair game.
Somebody recently suggested Daikatana. I don't want to buy anything for this show.
No, yeah, that's true too. Like, yeah, I'm not gonna buy anything, even though
it's cheap.
I also don't really want to pirate it. Like, I'll pirate Captain Skyhawk, I guess.
Yeah,
but what's the difference there? I wonder what the moral difference is there.
I have no idea.
Yeah, there's really not. We could still Jedi Katana, I guess. Because we're just playing it and then deleting it.
Like, true.
I'm not gonna keep Bubsy 2.
True.
You know, so yeah.
Huh. Well,
so anyway.
Yeah.
That's about it. Until next time. I can't remember anything that Bubsy says.
Nah.
Like, like, until next time.
I'm glad I have 2 weeks to find, or 3 weeks, whatever it is, to find a fucking pop-o-matic sound.
You can, I have faith in you.